Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you. I hope that you're having a great day, and I'm thankful that the Lord has given us this opportunity to be together and to meet with Him, to hear from Him. And so let's join our hearts together in prayer with our Lord. Father, thank You for this day that You have given to us, and Lord, Your love for us. Lord, the fact that You, such a God as You are, desires for us to know You. Father, we praise You for that. We humble ourselves before You. Father, we thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy. And Father, we come here because we want to know You. Lord, we ask that You open our minds and our hearts, O Lord, to be able to understand Your Word, and through that, O God, to hear Your voice as You speak to us. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding, Father, about who You are, about our relationship with You, about knowing You, and, oh God, just to see, Lord, the way that You work and move Your ways. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a good day, but I'm sure even if you are having a good day, you probably look around you at the times that we find ourselves living in, and at the very least, you're troubled by what you see. We see our nation seemingly headed toward political, social, economic collapse. You can't help but wonder if it's not being driven to that point. We see an increase in violence in our streets. We see an increase in hostility toward our Lord, toward His people, toward His Word, toward anything that has to do with Him. And many times we look at this and we wonder, how can we live in such days? And the answer is found in God Himself. He is the one who enables us to live in these days. And as we open God's Word to Psalm 48, we see a message that is so timely and relevant for us in these times. Now, as we come to Psalm 48, we're not sure about the historical context. The historical context may have been the Assyrian invasion of Judah that you read about in 2 Kings 18 and 2 Chronicles 32 and Isaiah 37. And you'll recall that during the reign of Hezekiah, Assyria invaded Judah. And frankly, it looked like they were going to win, but Hezekiah met with the Lord, prayed unto Him. God did a wonderful work of deliverance where He killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. And obviously, the Assyrians backed off. But we read this psalm that may be the historical background. There's an obvious prophetic overtone as we look at God's ultimate victory over Satan and understand the flow of coming prophetic events. At some point, we don't know when, maybe today, maybe 1,000 years from now, the Lord is going to come for His church and call His church out of this world. That'll begin that 7-year period of judgment that we refer to as the tribulation period. That will be ended when our Lord comes and establishes His kingdom and reigns over the earth for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a season, and then our Lord will have His final victory over Satan. And then that'll usher in God, the ultimate victory of our Lord, new heavens, new earth, and we go into eternity. Obviously, there are overtones here looking toward that day. So as we look at this psalm, there's obviously a bookend aspect. There is a historical event, very possibly that Assyrian invasion in the Old Testament. In the future, yet to come, we don't know when, will obviously be God's ultimate victory. And yet as we look at the beginning of that and the end of that, it tells us, it gives us confidence and comfort and strength as we live in these days in between. A sense of confidence as we face these times. What gives that confidence to us? Well, first of all, the security of God. Look at verses 1 through 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, His holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. God in her palaces has made Himself known as a stronghold. While the verses obviously speak of Zion, speak of Jerusalem, it is the God of Zion, the God of Jerusalem, that gives them security, that gives them strength. And everything in those verses speaks of God's power and His greatness, the security, the confidence that we have in Him. When you look at verse 2, It gives the reference there to Mount Zion being in the far north. The word there is Zaphon. And the Canaanites thought of that as the place where their gods resided, the north. But notice what it says here. In there in verse 2, is Mount Zion what? In the far north. In other words, the unbelieving nations around Judah and around Israel thought that their gods resided in the north. But the true living God resides what? In the far north. No matter how much power they may have, and in and of themselves they have no power. There was a demonic power behind false gods and idols, and there always is. But our God, the true living God, is far above that. There is no way a threat unto Him. Everything here speaks of the security and the safety that we have in our Lord. You think back to Psalm 46 and understand that Psalm 46, 47, and 48, that there's a connection there and the three of them go together. But notice Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. You think about what we read in Psalm 18, what David was inspired to write. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. How can we live in these days? How can we, in fact, be able to live with confidence and security? Because we have a fortress, a stronghold, a castle, a bunker that can never be invaded, can never be taken, a place of absolute security. We have the security of God, but we also have the victory of God. Look at verses 4 through 8. For lo, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. They saw it. Then they were amazed. They were terrified. They fled in alarm. Panic seized them. Their anguish is of a woman in childbirth. With the east wind you break the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish her forever. Selah. Word pictures there describing God's overwhelming victory. Certainly, in that historical context of the Assyrian invasion during the reign of Hezekiah is correct. You see how clearly that was fulfilled. But we know it will be fulfilled prophetically. Ultimately, God wins. You think all this rebellion that we see against God, and yet God will in fact win. Nothing can defeat our God. This ought to give us a confidence about these days and these circumstances that we find ourselves in. And by the way, that's really a very practical aspect, if you will, practical reason for studying prophecy. We are assured of God's ultimate victory, and it gives us security, it gives us confidence, it gives us a sense of perspective. It actually gives us the motivation to face what we're facing now because our God wins. And so we see the victory of our God. Child of God, make no mistake, everything we see around us, and if the Lord tarries, so to speak, is the expression we use, he's always on his time frame. Might seem like he's tarrying on from our perspective, but he's always on his time frame. But if from our perspective it seems like the Lord delays, we can have confidence because our God wins. We can rest in Him. But we also see the goodness of God. Look at verses 9 through 11. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice. You think about how good God is. Bad times do not diminish the goodness of God. In fact, it is many times, bad times, actually become the canvas that God's goodness can be shown and demonstrated on. You think about what we see over in Psalm 23 and verse 5. Probably have read it many times, may have it memorized, may quote it. And yet sometimes we overlook this truth. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. I'm sure we all love those word pictures there, especially the one at the end. My cup overflows. But look at the whole verse. When is the table prepared? And where is the table prepared? In the presence of his enemies. When does God anoint his head with oil? In the presence of his enemies. When does his cup overflow? In the presence of his enemies. The enemies don't thwart, don't stop, don't limit God's goodness or David's ability to experience it. It just shows how great and wonderful God's goodness is in the fact that even in those times, God's goodness can be experienced. We often experience God's goodness the most in the midst of the problems. If we seek him, if we let him, God will shower us with his goodness, even in days like these. Why can we have confidence as we live in these days? Because of the goodness of our Lord. But then look at how the psalm ends. Certainly we've seen the security of God, the victory of God, the goodness of God. But notice how it ends. It ends, number four, with the invitation of God. Look at verses 12 through 14. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us unto death. Think about the invitation that's there. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Look. Come and see. Taste the goodness of the Lord. It's a wonderful invitation there. It's an invitation that our Lord is giving us today. It's an invitation he's giving you. He's giving you, first of all, the invitation to salvation. You know, even in days such as these, God's hand of salvation has not been shortened. And no matter what you may have done, the blood of Jesus Christ can and will cleanse you of every sin if you place your faith, your trust in him. And God's invitation is to come and experience his wonderful salvation. Believer, God's invitation is to you, is to come, to look, to see, and to rest in God's strength and joy and security. This is not merely theoretical. This is, in fact, to be experienced. He is inviting us to come and to experience his wonderful goodness even in these times. Yes, these are uncertain times, difficult times. But our God is more certain than ever. He will carry us, and we can trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are the true and living God. Father, you are unshakable. You are unending. You're unlimited. Father, you're uncontained. Nothing can contain you, thwart you, stop you, diminish you, weaken you in any way. You are far greater than these times. Father, when we look at your great works in the past, like your wonderful defeat of the Assyrians, Lord, when they invaded Judah, or even more so when we see your real, certain, undeniable coming victory once and for all over Satan and all of his forces, Father, you are a God whom we can trust. Father, as we live in these times, as we face the circumstances in our lives, Lord, may we rest in you. Be with us, O God. Strengthen us, comfort us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you go in the strength, the comfort of the Lord, that you do taste his goodness, and that by his wonderful grace and mercy, you do have a great day in him.